All right, ready to dive into some fascinating stuff.
Always up for a good deep dive.
Well, today we're taking a look at the first chapter of the book of Daniel.
Well, that's a good one.
You know, faith under fire, exile, all that.
Right, and some seriously clever maneuvering behind the scenes.
Exactly. We're going to go deep.
Love it.
And trust me, you might have missed some intriguing details in this story.
Oh, I bet. Like what?
Like, did you know even the names in this story are like secret codes? They whisper deeper truths?
That's what's so fascinating about Daniel. It tackles this age-old question. How do you hold on to faith when everything's falling apart?
Yeah.
And chapter one sets this up perfectly. Introduces us to characters facing incredible pressure, but finding ways to not just survive, but thrive.
Okay, so let's set the scene. It's 605 BC, and the Babylonian Empire, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, has just conquered Jerusalem.
Yeah, talk about a dramatic opening.
Right.
And you have to remember, in the ancient world, conquests were seen as battles between gods.
Oh, yeah, right.
So this wasn't just a military victory, it was a crash of the Titans, but with deities.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar took sacred vessels from the Jewish temple and put them in the house of his god, Marduk.
Wow.
A real power move. Meant to show Marduk was stronger than the God of Israel.
Okay, but here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
The text subtly tells us something different.
Ooh.
You see that phrase God gave popping up?
Yeah, yeah.
It's all over Daniel, and it unlocks a deeper meaning.
Hmm.
For example, the narrator emphasizes that God gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand.
So it's challenging that narrative of Marduk's triumph.
Exactly. Like, God is still in control, even when it doesn't seem like it.
Orchestrating events.
Right. And we see it again when God gives Daniel favor with the Babylonian officials.
Showing his influence behind the scenes.
Even in exile, God is working, and this is where we meet Daniel and his friends. They're not just any captives, they're from the Jewish nobility, specifically from the tribe of Judah.
Ah, that's significant. Representing the heart of God's people.
Right.
And then there's the name change.
Oh, yeah.
Their Hebrew names, like Daniel, meaning God is my judge, are replaced with Babylonian names.
Almost like giving them new identities.
A forced cultural makeover.
Right.
It symbolizes the pressure to abandon their heritage and conform.
It's a theme that resonates even today, wouldn't you say?
Totally. This struggle to maintain your identity when the world wants to fit you in a box.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, now buckle up for the food dilemma.
Okay.
Daniel decides he's not defiling himself with the king's food and wine. And this is where it gets kind of mysterious. We don't know exactly why the food was a problem.
Hmm, right.
So what are the leading theories?
Well, some think the food was offered to idols.
Breaking Jewish law?
Exactly. Others suggest the Babylonians didn't follow kosher rules.
Making it unclean.
Yeah. And then there's the theory it was special festival food, totally inappropriate for someone in exile.
Wow.
It's a historical puzzle. Each theory adds another layer to the story.
It is, isn't it? But regardless of the reason, the symbolic meaning is clear. The food represents dependence on the king.
And Daniel's refusal shows his reliance on God.
Exactly, even in a foreign land.
It's a powerful act of defiance, saying, I won't completely submit.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think, what are the things we consume, literally or figuratively, that compromise our values?
That's a great question. But Daniel doesn't just refuse the food. He negotiates a 10-day trial.
Oh, wow.
He and his friends commit to eating vegetables and water.
Bold move.
I know, right? And it works. They end up healthier than those eating the rich food.
A testament to their faith.
And to God's provision.
Absolutely.
And there's that phrase again. He gave them learning, skill, wisdom, so they could thrive in exile.
It's like their faithfulness unlocked these gifts.
Would you say so?
I would. This is key. Faithfulness doesn't equal failure. Even in captivity, God equips his people to flourish.
It's a message of hope.
It really is, one that transcends this specific story.
You think? It's like saying, even in defeat, there can be growth.
Yeah, even success.
It makes you think.
It does.
How can we face our own exiles? Mm-hmm. You know, those times when we feel lost, out of place.
Right.
Think about the choices Daniel and his friends made.
They could have just given in.
Totally.
Completely assimilated. Abandoned their faith.
But they didn't.
No. They found this balance.
It did.
Staying true to themselves while navigating a foreign system.
It's like walking a tightrope.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Respecting Babylonian culture, but holding onto their values.
It couldn't have been easy.
No.
And that's where wisdom comes in.
Right.
Remember, God gave them wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just book smarts.
No.
It's about discerning the right path.
Yeah.
Honoring your beliefs without unnecessary conflict.
So it's not about being passive or aggressive.
Right.
It's that wise middle ground.
Exactly.
I like that about Daniel.
And their faithfulness sets them apart.
It does.
Leads to their success, ultimately.
It's
a reminder that staying true to yourself,
yeah,
even when it's hard, can open unexpected doors.
It's like their integrity becomes a beacon.
It does.
Drawing attention. They don't compromise.
Yeah.
Their faithfulness paves the way. Okay, I want to shift gears a bit. Talk about the book itself.
Okay.
The symbolism in Daniel always gets me.
Yeah, yeah.
The food, the names, even the number three.
Right.
Layers of meaning.
It's like a treasure hunt.
Isn't it?
Reading between the lines.
Yeah.
Like God gave.
Uh-huh.
It's not just a statement.
Right.
It's emphasizing God's power.
Okay.
Even when it looks like he's lost control.
It challenges us to look deeper.
Right.
See the bigger picture.
That there's a bigger picture.
Yeah. That even in chaos, God's working.
He is.
Okay, the Babylonian names.
Yeah.
It's more than a name change.
It is.
It's erasing their identity.
Right.
Stripping them of their God, their heritage.
A form of cultural assimilation happens throughout history.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But it highlights the resilience of faith.
Right.
Holding on to belief even when it's suppressed.
Makes you think about those pressures today.
It does.
Maybe not name changes, but
subtle messages to conform.
Yeah.
Fit in. Tone down your beliefs.
Oh, absolutely. I've felt that pressure.
To be accepted.
Yeah.
But Daniel shows us we have a choice.
We do.
We can compromise, blend in.
Yeah.
Or stand firm.
Right.
Let our faith be our strength.
Even when it sets us apart.
Even then. It's about having the courage to be different.
It is.
To embrace who you are.
Yeah.
Even when it feels risky.
Right. And Daniel and his friends, they weren't perfect.
No, they weren't.
They had doubts, fear.
Just like us.
Like us. Makes their story even more powerful.
More inspiring.
Shows that faithfulness isn't about being flawless.
Right.
It's about turning back to God.
It is.
Seeking guidance.
Trusting his provision.
And that's relevant for any exile we face.
It is.
When things are bleak.
Yeah.
We feel lost.
Alone.
God's with us.
He is.
Guiding us, equipping us to thrive.
Even in the most unexpected places.
This has been so insightful.
It is.
I'm even more curious about the rest of Daniel.
Oh, it's great.
What's next?
Well, get ready for some twists and turns. Visions, prophecies, confrontations with kings.
Wow.
But at the heart of it all, it's unshakable faith.
Right.
In a God who's sovereign.
Okay, before we go too far, let's go back to chapter one.
Okay.
What stood out to you the most?
You know, what struck me was how they responded to their exile.
Yeah.
They could have been bitter, resentful, passive.
Right.
But they weren't.
They chose a different path.
They did. They actively sought ways to live faithfully in their new reality.
And they didn't just survive.
No, they thrive. It really makes you think, how do we react when life throws us curveballs?
It does. Do we let those challenges define us, or do we find ways to grow?
To flourish. Their story also shows how important community is.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel had his friends, supporting him, encouraging him, challenging him to stay true. They weren't alone.
Makes you wonder, who are those people in our lives? The ones who support us, hold us accountable.
Absolutely. The ones who keep us grounded, focused on what matters. When things get tough, surrounding yourself with people who share your values.
Yeah.
Who inspire you to be your best. That's crucial. Because let's face it, walking the path of faith.
It's not always easy.
It's not. We need those friends to help us navigate, celebrate the wins.
We do. We're not meant to go it alone. So you mentioned a final thought-provoking question for us. Something to ponder. What is it?
If God is truly in control, even when things seem bleak.
Yeah.
What does that mean for how we approach situations, the ones that feel out of our hands?
Wow. That really makes you rethink adversity. Maybe it's not a sign of God's absence.
Or failure.
Right? Maybe it's an opportunity to see his power, his provision, in a new way.
Exactly. And a call to trust in God's sovereignty, even when his plan doesn't make sense.
It's about surrendering.
To a wisdom greater than our own.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into Daniel chapter 1. History, symbolism, some really inspiring lessons on faith, resilience, and how God works in our lives.
Behind the scenes.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep exploring the depths of faith.